Let us pray together. Father, I do pray that you would hold us fast by your power as we walk along together on the journey to heaven to see you face to face. And Father, thank you that that you will hold us fast. And without your power, we would fall, we would fail, we would fall away from you. But thank you that you are the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us with great joy before your throne. And Father, we thank you that you are at work in us, that you have begun a good work and will finish it at the day of Christ Jesus. So Lord, I pray that you work in us today, even that we would listen, that we would believe your promises to us, that we would see the power of Jesus today, that we would see how awesome and mighty and loving he is toward us, his children. And Father, I do pray that you would help us to see Jesus and help us to love him more. We pray this in his name. Amen. Our text today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke 8, and our text will cover verses 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 56. As I read, I want you to pay attention for words like faith and fear. And we'll see them appear a few times throughout here. Luke 8, 22 through 56. This is God's word. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And he launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes they had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, or the abyss, hell. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went in and told it into the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, that the people gladly received him, and they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Someone has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, was declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." But when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Most of the time that I was in college, I worked on campus security. And part of the job was walking around campus and through buildings in the dark by myself in the middle of the night. The main building on campus called Jackson Hall was originally built by the Catholics in the early 1900s, and it was used as a monastery. So it's a beautiful building, but it's very creepy at night. Of course, the upperclassmen would pass on stories that it was haunted by Mary, and if you looked for a certain pillar at the certain light, you could see that she was there or something like that. So wild stories like that would circulate, and as you think about those things, you walk through this building late at night by yourself in the dark. One night when I was working summer security, I stopped by a friend's room as I was getting on duty, and they were watching this ridiculous movie called White Noise. Where the dead communicate through static on a radio. Shh. And not the best movie to watch before you go out in the dark by yourself, carrying a walkie-talkie. And a few minutes later, I was out in the dark with my keys, my flashlight, and my walkie-talkie. And our walkie-talkies were old, and they would have this thing where you walk through certain parts of Jackson Hall, I think near the ATM, and they would go, shh. And so that night, as I was walking through Jackson Hall, it happened. And I nearly jumped out of my skin and broke into a cold sweat. So it took me a few months to get used to walking through Jackson Hall by myself in the dark. But finally, I got through it. Now, it's one thing to be scared by static on a radio. It's another thing to be in actual danger. In our text today, you have people who are genuinely terrified by things that are actually dangerous. Did you notice all the danger in our text? A sinking ship in a violent storm, and a herd of demon-possessed pigs, and a formerly demon-possessed man who could rip chains apart. These are things you should be scared of. And did you notice that even though people were scared of these things, they're even more scared when Jesus comes along and has power over them? So what's scarier than the things you're scared of? The person who has control over those things you're scared of. Now, in our text, there's two main questions that the people must wrestle through and that we must wrestle through today. It's about who is Jesus and where is your faith? Those are the two main questions that the text is seeking to answer. And you notice in verse 25, this is almost like a theme verse for our passage. And Jesus said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." So who is Jesus, and where is your faith? And these two questions dominate this text until the middle of chapter 9. In chapter 9, Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter finally nails it. "You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're from God." And then there's a call. Where is your faith? Jesus calls people to die to themselves and to follow him. So these are two questions that are of vital importance to our text and to us today. And we are going to see these two questions answered in four stories in our text today. In each story, we find out more about the power of Jesus, and we find a call to faith. And in each story, we see that fear is an obstacle to faith. Fear is an obstacle to faith. So there are four stories then about Jesus, faith, and fear. Number one, Jesus has power over nature. Jesus has power over nature. I don't think there's a better illustration of Jesus, the God-man, than this little story here, where Jesus is exhausted and lays down and sleeps through a mini hurricane. But then when he wakes up, he says, "Be still," and the storm stops. So Jesus, the God-man. The text doesn't say if the disciples were more terrified of the storm or the fact that Jesus stopped the storm. But I'm assuming they're afraid when they say, "Jesus, help us!" I'm assuming they're scared there. But the text then goes on to say in verse 25 that they're afraid when Jesus stops the storm. What manner of man is this? So the question is, who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who has power over nature. That's who this man is. Since the disciples do not know the extent of Jesus' power, they were terrified. And because they don't know who exactly Jesus is, they are not able to trust him. So you're going to see that is very key throughout our stories. If you don't know who Jesus is exactly, you are not going to be able to trust him to save you. So this is a learning experience for the disciples to find out who Jesus is, so then they can then trust him for who he is. So who is Jesus? Jesus has power over nature. And what is faith? Faith is trusting Jesus through the storm. Faith is trusting Jesus through the storm. Story number two. Jesus has power over demons. Jesus has power over demons. So the text takes the question, "What manner of man is this?" and answers it in the strangest way. That's kind of, I feel like that question is just hanging there. Who is this? Who is this man who stilled the storm? And guess who answers this question? The disciples don't know who Jesus is completely. In chapter 7, the religious leaders are trying to figure out who Jesus is. Who knows who Jesus is? Well, Jesus and his disciples cross the Sea of Galilee to the north, and they land in a part of the country where there's mainly non-Jews or Gentiles. And we pick up the story in verse 27. "And he went forth, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?'" Who is Jesus? The Son of God Most High. And who recognizes him? It's the demon-possessed man who really knows who Jesus is. Now, don't you think that is ironic? You got people who know the Old Testament that don't know who Jesus is. You got a group of disciples hanging around Jesus. They don't know the extent of Jesus' power, but it is a demon-possessed man that acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, again, I'm sure that the people who lived around this demon-possessed man were pretty terrified about him. I'm sure the parents would tell their children, "Stay away from the graveyard because that's where this guy lives. He can hurt you." What is scarier than a demon-possessed man? The man who has power over demons. Jesus allows the demons to enter the pigs, and they rush over the cliff into the lake to their death. Now the people were terrified. They were truly scared. Notice it's mentioned twice, starting here in verse 34. When they that fed the pigs saw that what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of the God of God Most High. Jesus has power over demons, over Satan. What is faith? Where is their faith? There was no faith in that area. They were afraid of Jesus, so they were not able to trust him. But there's one man that does trust Jesus, the recently rescued man whose life had been a living hell. He, that one man, trusts Jesus. How do we know? It doesn't say he has faith, but how do we know he trusts Jesus? He wants to be with Jesus. It's like, Jesus, I want to go with you. You rescued me. But also, we see that this man goes out and tells everyone what Jesus had done for him. So it doesn't say he has faith, and telling people about Jesus isn't faith. Wanting to be with Jesus isn't faith, but these are fruits of faith. So a person who trusts Jesus will want to be with Jesus and will want to tell others what Jesus has done. So faith is revealed or shown by proclaiming what Jesus has done. So Jesus has power over nature, over demons. And number three, Jesus has power over disease. Jesus has power over disease. So Jesus crosses back over the lake and encounters two more people. The story of Jairus and his dying daughter is interrupted by the story of the woman who is desperate to be healed. In the crowd of people going down the road, she sneaks up to Jesus and touches the hem of his robe. Almost imagine she's on the ground, you know, she's kind of sneaking up. And she is healed instantly. But Jesus knows that someone touched him because virtue or power had gone out of him. He felt like he had healed someone. We pick up the story in verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Aren't those precious words? We see here that Jesus has power over disease. The fact that Jesus healed people shows that he was the promised deliverer, promised in the Old Testament. We find, what is faith? Where is faith? Faith is taking hold of Jesus, grabbing onto Jesus. If you want that literal picture of grabbing onto the hem of his robe, that's a good picture for you. Just holding on. Save me. The woman who was healed did not just think that Jesus could heal. Like if she was sat down and had a theology exam, okay, can Jesus heal people? A, no. B, yes. She could. It's more than that. She knew that Jesus could heal. She had heard stories of other people being healed by Jesus. But she didn't just stay with knowing, with knowledge about Jesus' healing. She reached out and touched his robe. She believed that Jesus could heal her. Now, many of you know, all of you know some things about Jesus. Many of you know a lot of things about Jesus. You know that he has power over nature. You know that he has power over demons and disease. You know that he is the Son of the Most High God. But the question is, have you reached out and laid a hold of Jesus? Have you reached out to Jesus and said, save me? Now let's stop here and know that it is demons in our passage that know the most about Jesus. So if you pride yourself on knowing a lot about Jesus, I would not do that, because the demons probably know more about Jesus than we do. Yet they do not believe. All your knowledge about Jesus is worthless unless you reach out and take a hold of Jesus as your Savior. While you might not need healing today, each one of you is a sinner. We have been born enemies of God and are condemned to hell because of our rebellion against our Creator God. This Jesus, the one who has power over nature and demons and disease and death, is the same Jesus that has power over sin. Jesus died on the cross to rescue us from the power and penalty of sin and to bring us back to God. Through Jesus' work on the cross, we can be welcomed into God's family forever. So you today know that Jesus has power over sin. You know that he can save you. The question is, will you reach out and touch his robe? Will you reach out and lay a hold of Jesus? If you've laid a hold of Jesus, he says to you, son, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Number four, Jesus has power over death. Jesus has power over death. After Jesus healed the woman, he was stopped by people from the house of Jairus. Verse 49, it says, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Notice again that the challenge to believe and this obstacle of fear. Don't fear, believe only. Now it's interesting, people are happy to believe that Jesus can heal someone, but when someone's dead, they're gone. And they don't believe that Jesus has power over death, but he does. The people weeping at the house scorn Jesus when he says, she's only asleep. They laugh him out. Their parents are flabbergasted, astonished when Jesus raises her from the dead. Now, I love this little tidbit here, and he says that she should be given something to eat. Why? Well, maybe Jesus knows that she's hungry. Perhaps also, this happened to Jesus when he rose from the dead, he commanded them to give her food so that they would know that she was real, like she wasn't a ghost. Ghosts don't eat food, at least in the imagination of the people in the Bible. Ghosts don't eat food, but she literally was raised from the dead. It was a physical person who could eat food. That might be the case here, but I'm not exactly sure. So who is Jesus? Jesus has power over death. And where is the faith? Faith is trusting God to do the impossible. So, in conclusion, fear is the absence of faith. In our text, it is fear that keeps people from faith. It is fear that keeps people from faith. It is fear that keeps people from laying hold of Jesus for who he is and what he can do. The disciples feared because they knew that Jesus had power over the wind and the waves. The townspeople feared because they could not imagine someone more powerful than the legion of demons that possessed their friend. Jairus was afraid because he did not believe that Jesus had power over death. And the challenge for each one of you today is this: fear not, only believe. And that's a challenge for every day, for every Christian. fear, this terror, not a reverence and awe of Jesus, but this fear we have seen through our text is a sign that faith has gone missing. So when you are afraid, it shows that something is lacking in your faith. When we are afraid, our faith isn't broken. You can't have broken faith. You can have unbelief, no faith, or faith. There's lots of weak faith. That's what faith is normally weak, because it's trusting in someone else. So it's very important that we know it is not the strength of your faith that outs your fear. It's like, if I just had stronger faith, I could just tell this fear to go away. That's not how it works. It is not the strength of your faith that outs fear. It is the strength of the Savior that drives away our fear. So what has this passage been telling us? Jesus has power. Jesus is powerful. He can heal. He can save. Fearful us wonders if we are strong enough, if our faith will hold. Faithful us looks to the strength of Jesus to save us and to sustain us. That's how it works. If you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, that's really, really small. That's all you need. You just need some faith. You don't need to have this magnificent faith. There isn't any such thing as magnificent faith. There is faith and no faith. There's fear or faith. The struggle of fear and faith has been very real for Emily and I in the midst of my Lyme's disease. So these kind of questions that we're asking are very common to humanity, to Christians. Will I get better? Can I survive as a pastor with chronic illness? How can I minister to others when we need so much help ourselves? How can we care for our kids and for others when day-to-day life is simply overwhelming? These kind of questions, these fears, are not unique to us. They are the fears of believers struggling with unbelief. But as you have noticed, these kind of questions always ask about our power, our ability, and our wisdom. They forget about the power, the ability, and the wisdom, and the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God Most High, has power over nature, over demons, over disease, and over death. But he is also the one who invites people trembling at his feet to go in peace. He is the one who raises little girls by the hand and says to each one of you today, do not fear, only believe. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we believe, help our unbelief. Father, I pray that we would not look to our own faith, to the strength of our faith, to our power, ability, and wisdom, but that we would look to the power and the ability of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that when we feel fear that our faith will fail, that we would look to Jesus to hold us fast. Lord, I pray that we would learn from this text in front of us, that we would take our fears to Jesus, and that we would trust him to rescue us. So Lord, help us to know more of Jesus so that we can trust him more. We pray this in his name. Amen.